Reading an article on one of the university websites earlier today about the African genome, which I read is the oldest and the most diverse in the world. But I also read that Africans have largely been underrepresented in neurogenetic studies. And the University of Cape Town's Neuroscience Institute is helping to change that through a range of, take a deep breath, forward-looking international collaborative projects on genetics and the nervous system. Professor Dan Stein joins us now, head of Department of Psychiatry and Mental Health at UCT. Hello, Dan.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm in very decent health, I'm delighted to say, and yourself?
Very good, thank you.
What is neurogenetics?
So neurogenetics would be the genetics of the nervous system and of diseases of the nervous system. Those might be neurological diseases or psychiatric diseases, anything really where we think the brain or the peripheral nervous system is involved.
And in the same way that some diseases affecting other parts of the body have a genetic component, the diseases affecting the brain sometimes have a genetic component as well?
Well, absolutely. So there are a few things to say about that. First of all, the brain is, you know, a particularly complex part of the body. So most of our genes, many of them are expressed in neuronal cells, that's in brain cells. And yes, there's more and more evidence that many of these diseases have what we call a heritable component, that is, genetic mechanisms are important in their onset.
How is it important, I mean, apart from this is the way Africa's always been treated, that Africans are so underrepresented in neurogenetic studies?
So what's increasingly happening in high-income, well-resourced places is that people use genetic information to help direct treatment. It's more an aspiration than a complete reality, but nevertheless, even so, things are happening. So, for example... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for example, and then you said, by example.
Different medications are metabolized in different ways by different people. You might be what's called a rapid metabolizer or a slow metabolizer. In other words, give two people the same medication, and in the one, they have side effects because it's at very high levels. And in the other person, it doesn't work because the medication is rapidly broken down. Now, there are ways of looking at the genetics of those, of the things that are involved in breaking down those medications, and that can then be used already to differentiate fast and slow metabolizers. Aspirationally, you would choose your medication based on your genetics. And again, this is happening in some diseases in some parts of the world. But less,
really, already,
less commonly.
Already you're able to choose a particular kind of medicine based on your own particular genome.
Sure. This is a little bit outside of my area, but
okay.
In one area is cancer, where what you would do is you would look at your cancer and look at the genetics of that cancer and then choose your medication accordingly. So that's happening, abroad and locally, in fact. The question is, how far will this go? I think time will tell.
And that's why you were careful to use the word aspirational. What is UCT doing to try and improve the representation of Africans in neurogenetic studies?
So what we're doing is we're getting going with collecting DNA from people that live in Africa, putting that in the lab, examining the DNA, analyzing it, and publishing it. So we're involved in a study where it's four countries in Africa, and we currently have about 15,000 people. This is a study of a particular mental disorder. Other people are doing similar things in other parts of our neuroscience institute. This is not inexpensive work, so we're doing the best we can with the resources that we have in hand.
Perhaps just a little bit more about the study. Across the four countries, looking at a particular mental condition, what your what you're hoping at the end of, and I presume it's a fairly longitudinal study, at the end of it, I mean, you're testing a hypothesis, I assume, but when you sit down and think about how this might pan out for the best, what do you see?
So you're ideally hoping to find the genes that are involved in causing a particular illness, and this may take some time, but then developing treatments that target those genes. This has, again, been done in other areas, cardiology, for example, where the discovery of a particular gene involved in hypercholesterolemia led to new treatments for that disorder. We who work in the clinical neurosciences, psychiatry, neurology, neurosurgery, we like to emphasize and just raise awareness of the fact that these are really the most disabling of the disorders. So if you look at sort of the what's called the burden of disease, both locally and abroad. Disorders like depression, anxiety disorders are typically way at the top, particularly in high-income countries, but increasingly so in low- and middle-income countries.
And progress to date, I don't know how long you've been busy with this study, but are your researchers starting to pick up signs that there not only might there be a very specific gene that is involved, but that they might be getting close to isolating it?
So progress is both good and bad. I say good because I'm aware of an article that we'll be publishing very soon in a very good journal on the genetics of schizophrenia in African populations, and we're quite excited about the findings. It's slow, though, on the other hand, because developing a medication that would then target those genes is really a very slow and long process, and I wouldn't want to raise expectations that is going to happen anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I mean, I know that we in the media are guilty a lot of the time of dramatically over-amplifying research, medical research, and it makes it appear as if a cure for a particular virulent disease is just 3 years away, whereas in fact we're probably 10 years away from human trials. But there are promising results. There is a basis on which you can start to build optimism.
Yeah, look, the last 10 years have been very exciting, in particular in the genetics of mental disorders. We now know much more about what we call the architecture of mental disorders than we did until quite recently. And really good progress in this, in one way, and back to the theme, really bad progress in another way, because it turns out to be incredibly complex. So the media, you blame the media, so I'm quoting you. Well, in the past, often have said, we have this gene for this personality trait or this gene for this disorder. And it turns out that in the case of mental disorders, there are multiple genes involved in all of them. Also, making it even more difficult to figure out what's going on, the same genes are involved in different mental disorders. And so, really understanding all of this will take another considerable piece of time. And then moving from an understanding to a treatment, as I already said, is tricky.
Thank you very much for an explanation, which I think most lay people would have been able to follow. I know I was. Professor Dan Stein, head of the Department of Psychiatry and Mental Health at UCT.